Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm still mad. I'm not as mad as I was 3 minutes ago, but I'm still mad. And I might get mad all over again. So we'll be joined by Cole Aldridge coming up at 4:15. BK, I wrote down a lot of notes, but you said you wanted to ask me a question. I want to answer your question. I apologize earlier for cutting you off. I was having a little bit of a moment. I'm still mad.
A meltdown.
I was having a little bit of a moment. Sean, this is the Carrington you asked to see last week. When I wasn't mad about Frank Clark, you were like, where's the same Carrington from the offseason?
First of all, I don't like that. Second He's of back. All, I love this Carrington.
He's back.
This is my guy.
The same Carrington from the offseason that was had that questioned and concerned about the defense, he's back. I told you when I was going to start holding the Chiefs to get to this point. Text line 69306. Chiefs defense stinks. Carrington, give them time. Chiefs defense has best game. C-Dot loses his mind. They play Joe Flacco. Are those teams you're going to be going up against to try to go to the Super Bowl? Teams like the Broncos? Are those the teams that you're afraid of? Stopping Joe Flacco is not showing me anything. If this defense wants to show me that they've turned the corner, play well against Aaron Rodgers. Play well against Kirk Cousins. And then we can have a conversation about the Chiefs defense being better. But it was like last week's game didn't happen to me. It was like Mahomes fell walking down the street, and then they just took a bye week last week. I don't take anything from last week's game positively or negative. I don't care about Matt Moore's touchdown. I don't care about Reggie Ragland got 2 sacks, and he had a half sack in his career.
Everybody
last
got 2 sacks.
Last week was not real. Last week was like playing your little brother in Madden. That's what it was like on Rookie. That's what it was like. I don't take anything from last week's game.
Flacco's terrible.
He's the worst.
No, Trubisky.
He's terrible.
And we got a new contestant, Sam Darnold, last night. 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, a QBR of
-7 fantasy points.
Is that possible?
At least Darnold was going up against a Patriots defense that might legitimately be good. Flacco couldn't carve the Chiefs defense up, which should tell you everything you need to know about his ability.
I don't know how the QBR works, but I know 3.6 is not good.
Terrible.
And that's what Sam Darnold was last night. Should By the way, BK, do you have a question you
want to
ask?
Yeah, go BK, ask your question.
All right, so I've got 2 questions.
I'm probably
going to
lose
this
it
one.
Again after your question. Guaranteed. After I answer, but go ahead.
Let him get it.
I'm still very upset.
Let's start with this one. This one first is, if no players get traded that you think the Chiefs should have traded for, then how will you react to that? So let's say no linebackers that are solid get traded. No corners that you think would be an improvement for this team get traded. None of the defensive tackles that we've been talking about get traded. Will that change your opinion on Brett Veach?
I find it hard to believe.
Just answer the question.
I know, but I'm just saying is I don't think that scenario is going to happen.
Okay.
If it does, I'm talking in the hypothetical scenario where it does happen. I'm seeing into the future. We've gone into our DeLorean that actually takes us forward this time around. This happens. What is C-Dot's reaction?
Can I answer the question with my answer, and then I'll see if it's a good if it's a good enough thing?
Answer the damn question,
Carrington. This is the thing, though. This is the thing. We think the Chiefs are the only team in the NFL that need a defensive lineman, a linebacker, or a corner. So
If they don't get traded, then how the hell can we be mad at them?
I just don't find that to be a realistic scenario. Maybe that's not answering your question. I don't think that's very realistic. This is my question. Maybe it's kind of the inverse of asking your question. Why do the Patriots seem aggressive at attacking their weaknesses, yet the Chiefs don't seem aggressive? The Patriots have had one flaw the entire season. It's outside playmakers. I know it, you know it, Sean knows it. Their wide receivers stink. The last time a wide receiver was up that could help them, in Antonio Brown, they signed him quickly. Antonio Brown, when Antonio Brown, he's out doing creepo weirdo person stuff. He's out of here. The next time you can significantly improve your roster is the trade deadline, and they do it. So I hear what you guys are saying. But I would say there is some limitation in I don't have the ability to call other teams' general managers and say, hey, what do you want for this player? What is the going rate for this player? Veach, I assume, has this information or he's not good enough at his job. Like, I assume he has the opportunity to call the Lions' general manager and just said, hey, I saw you traded Quantre Diggs. What would it cost for us to get Darius Slay? And then he has the ability to negotiate based on the price that he is told. He can then do that exact same scenario I just told you and do it with the other teams in the NFL for players that he think can help. So I just find it hard to believe that over the next 7 days or 8 days now with the trade deadline, there's not going to be a player traded that could have helped the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm going to go in my DeLorean, than your DeLorean. I'm going to go into the time, and just like I told you about Jamie Collins when I said they should have got Jamie Collins, I'm going to have that exact same conversation a week from today when there is a player that they should have traded for.
Sure, and if that happens, I'm with you, but I'm not going down that hypothetical scenario. Anyways, you're not going to answer my question. That became very clear. You're going to go with a political spin and give your own answer to the question that wasn't asked. Regardless, my second question that I have for you.
Go ahead. Hold on, really quick, though. Do you think that scenario is going to happen? I understand that you're hypothetical. Do you think there is going to be a linebacker, defensive lineman, or cornerback that is traded in the next 8 days that you will not look at and say Kansas City should have traded for that player?
No, I don't think that guy's going to get traded. I don't. That's why I have the stance that I have, because I have not seen any reporting of any player that I would say that guy makes all the sense in the world for the Chiefs to trade for him. Now, if I do, I'll change my stance on this and say that if that guy does get traded, then we can then talk about what Brett Veach should or should not have done there. But my other question to you, CDOT, is what if they go out and they make a trade like the one that Jalen Ramsey just was traded for? They give up too much. It's very clear that it's an overpay. It's probably going to set them back. It means that they can't re-sign Chris Jones. It puts them in a tough spot in a cap situation moving forward. They make a move that clearly makes their team better, but it also it sets them back in the future. Are you going to praise that kind of a trade? Because that seemingly is the type of trade you're talking about that you would like them to do.
Can I get on this real quick? I think when the Royals went out and got Johnny Cueto, that was such an obvious move to make. The Reds sucked. The Royals were good. Cueto was available. Expiring contract. The Royals had the money. They had the assets at the minor league level, trying to win a World Series from the year before. It was obvious, and it worked out. I'm not sure that there's that obvious move for the Chiefs. They're going to have to get really creative here before the trade deadline comes around because, like you said, Carrington, it's easy to recognize the positions of need. There were a couple of them, offensive lineman, linebacker, cornerback. It's another thing for that player to become available at the right time. So we'll see if it works. We'll see if there's a perfect fit like there was with Cueto. I doubt there will be.
BK, so your question was overpaying, right?
Yeah, basically, if they go out and make the move that you criticized the Rams for making and the one that you said you don't think would have been a smart move for the Chiefs and you would have criticized them for making, if they go do that with, let's say, Xavien Howard, because he's the name that we've talked about the most. Let's say they trade 2 first-round picks for Xavien Howard. You're now going to come on here and say that was a smart move?
I would understand the philosophy behind the move.
I would say that if that was what they wanted to do, they should have done everything that they possibly could have, and maybe it just wasn't possible to go get Jalen Ramsey because that guy's not as good as Jalen Ramsey, and you traded the same amount. You did the same thing that you did for Frank Clark.
I'm with you. I don't think the Xavien Howard's going to go, but I will go down the road for this hypothetical. I'll even go down the road the other one. I want to apologize for not going down the road with that analogy. If they're going to make a move for an elite-level player, okay, you're right. Maybe I come on here and I say they overspent a little bit. But the philosophy is going to be they invested heavily at a position that can help them win the Super Bowl. So that Super Bowl or bust mentality we were talking about, that will be the epitome of it. You're right. Part of why I didn't like the Jalen Ramsey trade is the Rams ain't going to the Super Bowl this season. So if Kansas City had said, hey, we're going to trade for Jalen Ramsey, we think this is the last final piece that we need to go to the Super Bowl. They're sitting at 5-2. They're just in a different scenario than I think that the Los Angeles Rams are in. I also think, though, I guess some of it is with the player rumblings, we're also ignoring the fact and why the hypothetical I think doesn't apply is we ignore moves that there's no smoke. Did any of us know that Marcus Peters was going to be traded? It's not like there was a bunch of tweets days before, hey, Marcus Peters is being moved. Rob Parker tweeted that he had got traded, and then we have found out about it. I just think that these guys have so many conversations that we never find out about, that you call about players, that you're curious about it. If they don't make a move, in my opinion, it's going to be because they didn't want to make a move. You call someone on the phone that has a player that you think can help, and you find out what the price is for the player, and then you go spend it. How many players in the NFL would you deem as not tradable? Like, what percentage of players in the NFL would you say there's no way you can go acquire that player?
More this year than usual because of the way the standings have worked out. I think there's 25 teams that at least still think they're in. Like Arizona. Arizona ain't making the playoffs, but they convince themselves they're 500. They're going to make the playoffs, so Patrick Peterson's not available.
You're right, but the Lions just made a trade, and they're a team I think still thinks they have a chance.
I don't know what they're doing.
Oakland just made a trade. They're a team that I think is still in it. So the trades that have happened in the NFL are not only coming from bad teams. The Rams just made a trade for, like, so it's not like all the players that have been traded have been from the Giants, the Redskins, the Dolphins. There have been players on good teams that have been traded to other teams. I'm simply saying, pick up the phone and call somebody and make a move. That we're looking at this defense, to me, if they don't make a move, they are telling me that they think their defense is fine, and I strongly disagree. I've seen their linebackers. I've seen their defensive line. I've seen all of that. I don't think that their team is fine. I don't think that Frank Clark is the player that we thought he was going to be. I think their linebackers are terrible and can't cover and can't stop the run. I don't think they're going to be able to, especially if they're not going to have a bye. I don't think this team is equipped, fully healthy or not, to beat three playoff teams in a row. I don't think they're good enough to do that with the way their defense is. So look at your weaknesses and try to improve.
For me, nothing's changed, from my opinion, at the beginning of the year. We talked about Super Bowl or bust. We talked about how the Chiefs have more talent than everybody else. We talked about it's the Patriots and the Chiefs and the Patriots and everybody else. At full health, which they haven't been since week one, quarter one, I think this team is still the exact same team we've been talking about, even if they don't make one move.
I just don't know how you can think that when you're so down on Frank Clark.
They're so unhealthy. I know, they're so unhealthy.
I know, but I'm saying
Frank Clark's got to be better. I think we've seen the worst of Frank Clark.
I know, but I'm saying is somebody asked a question about last year's team. When I came in thinking about their defense, I thought they had an elite-level pass rusher on their team. I don't think they have that in Frank Clark. So, like, looking at how I evaluate this defense, I thought they were going to be better at linebacker than they are. They're not, like, my opinion on the team has changed after seeing them play. Can guys get better? Absolutely. Can guys get worse? Absolutely. But where I was at the very beginning of the season, it just changes. I now have 7 games of data with seeing certain players that I don't know if you're going to get the Frank Clark that you had last year with D Ford that can get 15 and a half sacks. I don't think that player plays on the team.
Overall, though, heading into the season, weren't we just saying if this defense just gets a little bit better, instead of allowing 27 points, they give up 22 points, they can win the Super Bowl? Don't look now. That's right where they are.
I don't think their offense is the same as last season. I don't think their defense has made enough of an improvement. I think their offense has regressed, that it's not the third best offense in the history of the NFL, but it's certainly capable. And defensively, they just haven't taken enough steps. Right now, if you ask me, are they Super Bowl contenders, I would be out. Fully healthy, banged up, I'm out on the Chiefs being Super Bowl contenders.
Okay.
I just don't think their roster is good enough to do it. And I think we're trying to talk ourselves into it because they went to the AFC Championship game last year. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get into your chance to win $1,000 on a national cash contest. Coming up, Cole Aldridge will join us on the return of the Border War. Cole Aldridge up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 10 minutes, we'll give you another chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Let's head to the phone line right now. We will catch up with Kansas great Cole Aldridge to talk about the return of the Border War. Cole, really appreciate you coming on. What was your reaction to the news today?
Man, it's going to be exciting. You know, with KU and all the great things that they have done in the past few years, and you know, I honestly don't necessarily know a whole lot about the Missouri team, but I do know that there's some animosity between the two fan bases, and it's really going to be fun to have it back.
I was just going to ask, you're not from the Kansas City area, so how quickly did it take you to pick up on how important that rivalry is in this part of the country?
Well, I mean, I know over the last, it's been, what, 5 years since they played in the kind of relief game for the Hurricane. And even then, you know, being an exhibition game, it was still exciting to watch. And I know kind of rekindling the fire under each other's teams, fan bases, is really going to be a good thing for the area.
Cole, do you have a favorite memory back when you were playing at KU from the KU-MU rivalry?
It's not a favorite memory, but one that just kind of sticks out. We were in Missouri. I'm trying to think of who it was. It was he hit a big shot at the end of the game, kind of right down that last, like, 4 or 5 seconds. He hit it, and then we had an opportunity kind of at the very end to make a Hail Mary, but it didn't turn out. And that's kind of one that, I mean, obviously not a great memory in my mind, but one that sticks out of what that, you know, rivalry is just a back and forth, no matter how good or how not good each team would be, you know, they still want to win.
One loss in your career was a heartbreaking 62-60 on the road loss at Mizzou, and with Zaire Taylor hit a game-winning shot. I'm just trying to think of disappointing regular season losses in your career. I'm not sure if there maybe was one bigger, given the fact you guys were up 14, MU comes back late, then hits a game-winning shot.
I think that one, or we never won in Oklahoma State. The two times that I played there in Gallagher, Iowa, unbelievable crowds. My freshman year, we were, I think, third in the country, and we had lost. And then, again, my junior year, we were the best team in the country. We ended up losing again. And, you know, that's another arena that just kind of sticks out in my mind. That was just, it was a blast to play in.
Cole, how much did Coach Self hammer that home? How important was it to him, not just to win the Big 12 and eventually go on to Final Fours and national championships, but specifically to beat MU?
A lot. I mean, one, they were in, you know, the Big 12 North with us. So, you know, we saw them twice. It wasn't, you know, kind of a team where it would be like, you know, Oklahoma State, where we would go there every other year and they would come every other year. You know, we played them twice a year, and with the potential of playing them in a Big 12 tournament. So that kind of magnified everything in a sense of, you know, what it meant for that game or those games. But now, you know, playing one game is really just going to be a fun thing to watch, because, you know, they are going to go at each other. They are going to compete, and it may not matter as much in a sense of ranking in the Big 12, but, you know, for crap talking between the two fan bases, it's going to mean a lot.
Right now we're talking to Cole Aldridge, former Kansas grad, about the return of MU and KU. So looking at your time, it overlaps with Damari Carroll. You were a sophomore when he was a senior. What was it like to go up against Damari Carroll?
He's a good player, man. I mean, I think you kind of, those days were, you know, kind of the junkyard days for Missouri, where they try to foul you 175 times and hope that the refs were going to call it 30 times. You know, they were all up in your crap, pressing, being aggressive, and Damari was kind of, you know, one of those focal points as you've kind of seen throughout his NBA career.
Talking with Cole Aldridge. Cole, are you surprised that they've taken this long off from meeting on the basketball court? Are you surprised that it took so long for KU and MU to get back together?
Maybe I'm surprised that it's taken this long. I know when they switched conferences, I'm sure everybody kind of had their own feelings about the situation, about them leaving. But, you know, I think kind of the dust has settled in a sense, and now everybody's really wanting to get back to, you know, what those days were. I mean, you got two states of, you know, a lot of history that goes back to, you know, the early 1800s and all that. And, you know, there's some rekindled spirits.
Did you ever play a road game or a tournament game with a crowd as intense as when you played at MU?
Maybe not as hostile. Man, I remember, so Lou Perkins was our AD at the time. This might have been one of the last, this was, I think it might have been my freshman year, because the football team had just gone to the Orange Bowl. And I think somebody in the stands from the upper deck tossed a water bottle and almost hit Lou. It like kind of nicked the back of his chair. But I mean, that's kind of a sense of how much animosity there is between the two schools.
Cole, you mentioned the crap talk that takes part between these two teams. Before you get out of here, now's your chance. They're going to play six games, twice at Sprint Center, twice in MU, twice in Lawrence. How many of those games do you think KU wins?
Man, you know, that Sprint Center game, that first one is going to be fun. It's going to be different because it's going to be such a mixed crowd. You're going to have probably a division of half and half. But I can't see them winning at Allen Fieldhouse. I mean, not many teams have the ability to do that. And, you know, with the fans kind of coming back in 2 years for the first time in almost a decade of them playing in the Fieldhouse, I think that's kind of one of the games that that they don't lose. If I were to have to put a number on it, you know, I would say they probably win four or five of them.
At least five, maybe six. Cole Aldridge, former KU big man, also national champion on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks so much for your time, Cole.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Appreciate Cole Aldridge stopping by and joining us on the show. Coming up momentarily, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And I was reading the text for my meltdown about the Chiefs. Oh, yeah. I think I see where the divide is between myself and Chiefs fans. I'll explain it coming up. It's
The Drive. The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive. Text the word schedule. S-C-H-E-D-U-L-E. Schedule. 272881. That's schedule. 272881. As in Kansas has added Missouri onto their schedule for next season. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance to win up to $8,000 each weekday. All you got to do is keep it locked in from 9 to 5. Your next chance to win is coming up tomorrow at 9:30. Go ahead and win right now. One more time for those of you that are in the back. Schedule, S-C-H-E-D-U-L-E, schedule 272881. I almost stumbled there. I'm not going to lie to you. I almost stumbled there, but I picked myself back up. All right, so I basically threw the rundown away, Sean. I apologize.
It's all right.
But I want to ask you guys some questions first because BK, I think he thought he got one over on me earlier with this hypothetical question. So I got to get him back now. All right. So the Chiefs have played 7 games so far this season. Jacksonville, Oakland, Baltimore, Detroit, Indianapolis, Houston, and Denver.
How many of those teams, that one.
How many of those teams would you guys consider to be good?
Three, maybe four.
Where are you at, BK? How many of those teams would you consider to be good?
I would definitely consider the Ravens, Texans, and Colts to be good. I would say probably those.
Okay. And the Lions? Can we assume four. They're a good football team?
Yeah, that's fine.
Those four teams are the good teams, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the difference in where I am, at least according to the text line, because someone made this point. Someone on the text line said, hey, where's the C-Dot that was after the Texans game? Now one game in the injuries, it seems like you don't have any confidence. And I said, I don't question if the Chiefs are a good team or not. I question if they can win the Super Bowl with this defense. And he replied, if they play at the level they did on Thursday night, then yeah, especially when we get Chris Jones back, and then he made some other points. So you two have come to the conclusion they have played four teams that you would consider to be good teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happened when the run defense, when they've played those four teams. Baltimore ran the ball 32 times for 203 yards. Indianapolis ran the ball 45 times for 180 yards. Houston ran the ball 41 times for 192 yards. The Lions ran the ball 35 times for 186 yards.
Welcome to the club, C-Dot.
So my question is, if you're really optimistic about the Denver performance, do you trust that the Chiefs can do anything close to that against a good football team? Because so far this season, they have not shown me, based on the good teams on their schedule, and they got good teams coming the second half of the season. Green Bay's good. Minnesota's good. New England's good. I don't know about Chicago. I'm assuming they're not going to be good, but their defense is going to be good. What have you seen from the Chiefs that can suggest they can stop the run against good teams? If the answer is, well, Chris Jones is going to come back and that's going to be the elixir to stopping the run, okay.
He can't stop the run.
All I'm asking them to do is to go out there and get somebody who can help you stop the run. Now, I can admit fully, I don't know who that player is. But again, I'm also not a general manager in the NFL. I don't scout NFL teams the exact same way. I also don't have the phone numbers to NFL GMs where I can call and then find out how much that player is worth. If we can't hold Brett Veach responsible when his sole responsibility this offseason was to improve their defense, he didn't have one other objective this offseason. They didn't need to re-sign their quarterback. They didn't have to pay Tyreek Hill. They didn't have to go get a running back. They had one responsibility this offseason. Two, I would say. One was to get rid of Bob Sutton because there was no way he could come back this year. And they had to radically improve their defense. Now, after watching 7 games on this mini bye, I don't know if their defense is any better. Now, I'm not even saying the move they're going to make is going to drastically go from a bad defense to a good defense. But you at least got to try. You at least have to mortgage some of the future, quote-unquote, and trade a draft pick for a guy that you think can come in and help you. We talk so much about the second half of the season and how it's important. This team could use another defensive lineman. This team could use another linebacker. This team could use one more reinforcement that can help them stop the run against a good team. So I'm holding one person responsible for it. That ain't on Mahomes. That ain't on Tyreek Hill. That's not on Andy Reid. It's the general manager of the Chiefs and his scouting department to go find someone you think can help you stop the run against a good football team because they haven't proven they can stop the run against any good team they've played so far this season.
All right, you gave me a lot to chew on there, so let me take it bite by bite. if they're going to add a player now with 1 week before the trade deadline, it can't just be this guy would look great in a Chiefs uniform, Patrick Peterson, Josh Norman. That's who's actually going to become available. And Geno Atkins, if the Chiefs make a move, they should be able to land him. He's also got an expiring contract at the end of the year. So to me, if we're talking about reality, not what would be best case scenario, not what would be best fit, but what could actually happen, we're talking Geno Atkins at this point. Second, you were talking about the defense and what I take away from the Denver game where the Chiefs were great. The Denver running game, 21 attempts for 71 yards. Joe Flacco, only 213 yards through the air. That's because the Broncos suck. That's not because the Chiefs all of a sudden figured out how to stop the run or figured out how to get to the quarterback. When the Chiefs went from 28th in sacks to 5th in sacks after that one game, that's what happens. We have 9 sacks against Joe Flacco. So that's fool's gold. That's snake oil. The defense isn't great all of a sudden. I think you're going to see that as soon as Sunday. There's a big difference between Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers. And third, if the Chiefs do somehow win these next two games, and I don't think they're going to. They're going to be underdogs, most likely. They're already a 3.5-point dog against Green Bay. I think they'll probably be an underdog against Minnesota also. But if they can win those games, it's going to be 10% players, 90% Andy. And they should put that guy in the Hall of Fame after the Minnesota game if somehow Coach Reed can beat Green Bay and the Vikings.
I just don't care about the Denver game because this season, I thought, was all about how they match up in winning the Super Bowl. I never questioned if the Chiefs were better than the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are going to be one of the 5 worst teams in the NFL. They are already sellers. They're probably going to trade Chris Harris. They should probably trade Von Miller. Denver is playing out the stretch so far this season. So maybe it's overly critical of this team, but how you match up against the Denver Broncos means absolutely nothing to me because that's not a team that's in your way of trying to stop. You know who is in your way?
Who?
The Houston Texans. And they ran the ball 41 times, 492 yards. The Indianapolis Colts, they ran the ball 45 times, 480 yards. The Baltimore Ravens, they are in the way of what you're trying to accomplish. They ran the ball 32 times for 203 yards. This is a time for the Chiefs to attack one of their weaknesses. What I love most about the Patriots is they attack their weaknesses. We need a playmaker. Let's go get a playmaker. Let's look at the NFL. Let's see who's available. Let's go make a trade. Even if it doesn't work, they signed Demaryius Thomas in the offseason. They had him in there. It wasn't working. Let's get rid of him. They have done more to answer their question of outside playmakers than I've seen the Chiefs defense do this entire offseason. They've nonstop been trying to figure out trying to give Brady one more weapon. That's how I want the Chiefs to attack their run defense. Their run defense is a clear problem. And I will say this, BK, back to your point. The best trick that's happened so far this season is they've been so bad against the run that it's made you think that their passing attack isn't that bad.
Ain't that the truth?
Because I saw them against Matthew Stafford. They had absolutely no answer for Matthew Stafford. I saw them against Deshaun Watson. They had no answer against Deshaun Watson. They ain't played no other two quarterbacks here over the same. Like, who else is supposed to beat them? Lamar Jackson's supposed to beat them through the air? Who else do they play that's going to beat them? Derek Carr? Those aren't the kind of guys you're going to beat. So you need to make some improvement.
So you're talking about a hot quarterback, a great running game, and a top 10 defense. You know what teams you're describing? The Packers and the Vikings. Aaron Rodgers coming off of a 6-touchdown performance. Kirk Cousins is the hottest quarterback in the league right now. 11 touchdown passes in his last 3 games. Go to the running backs. Aaron Jones, 8 touchdowns, tied for the league lead with, Dalvin Cook. He also has 8 touchdowns and 2 top 10 scoring defenses. It's going to be incredibly difficult for the Chiefs to win either one of these next 2 games, which is also why they should make a move sooner rather than later if they're going
to
make one.
Text line 69306. We need to sit Pat out until he's healed and forget about this year. The Pats aren't going to risk Mahomes' career. Someone else, 610 Sports, only hires negative radio hosts. You guys all sound like a bunch of crybabies. OMG. Wow. If you've watched the Chiefs over the first 7 weeks and you think their defense is good enough, I would just question what team you've been watching.
Another update from Sam Mellinger. Sounds less and less likely that the Chiefs are going to make a move. I really thought Patrick Peterson would make sense, but the cards are 3-3-1, and they are not dealing. Some good players on bad contracts are available, but the Chiefs have a lot of money going out soon. I will say this much, Siad, to agree with you on this perspective.
Brett Veach is Kaiser Sose. That's who he is. What has Brett Veach done? Honest to God.
I asked that a month ago.
I'm on your side.
I said, what move can you point to when it comes to Brett Veach that you say that one worked out? There isn't one.
Before we get there, LeSean McCoy reacts to this tweet really quickly from Sam Allen.
LeSean McCoy's been fine.
Kaiser Sose, Brett Veach. Brett Veach, the only reason he doesn't get criticized more is he was around when they drafted Patrick Mahomes.
He was in the room.
He was just around. He was around when it happened. He was cool with the people that made the decision. He signed Sammy Watkins to that god-awful contract. Anthony Hitchens, his contract might be worse than Sammy Watkins' contract.
I don't know about that.
He built this defense.
It is. At least they can get out of Sammy's contract.
He built this defense. He traded for Frank Clark. I'm trying to figure out what exactly do you do here?
Keep going. You remember his draft class year one, right? Remember that great draft class he had?
What did you do here?
All right, some good players on bad contracts are available, but the Chiefs have a lot of money going out soon. That can't be the reason. Like, if Brett Veach has a press conference after the deadline and says, you know, we were in on some things, but they just didn't make sense for us, and then there's reporting later on, because we all know how this works, there's reporting that comes out afterwards, and Sam Mellinger and Therese Paylor come out and say, listen, they were in on some things, but the guys just had bad contracts. No, guys that you trade for don't have bad contracts. It's why the Odell Beckham move was so smart by the Browns. They could cut him next year, and it cost them nothing. So is it a quote-unquote bad contract if they're on your roster? Sure, but if they stink, you get rid of them, and it costs you nothing to do so. There's no such thing as a bad contract that you're trading for, because you can immediately cut them, and it costs you nothing. That can't be the argument. So, C-Dot, on this perspective, I'm with you. The bad contract thing, stop it. If you go out and get a corner that costs you $14 million and he's bad, you cut him next year. If he's a bad player, okay, I'm all in favor of not going and making that move. But if and this tweet says from Sam Mellinger, he specifically says, good players on bad contracts are available. Those are the guys that the Chiefs should be going out and getting. Those guys are exactly the types of players that the Chiefs should be targeting right now.
BK, C-Dot, it's really cute of you guys to pretend like Brett Veach is, one, actually going to make a move, and two, the move that he makes is going to be the right one. Like, that's really fun. That's really cute. What actually gives you confidence that even if Brett Veach says, we're going to sign this guy, we're going to make a trade for this guy, that it's going to work out? I have no faith at this point.
I mean, it would just be an effort at this point. Like, Therese is reporting it and Mellinger is reporting it.
So it's my theory on the running game. Just try. Just try. Give it an attempt.
Yeah, but I guess with me is I don't know if they have the talent. Like, based on what BK just read, there are players that they think can help them, and now they're being cheap. When the Chiefs created all this cap space this offseason, I was presuming that it was for this moment.
Well, that's just stupid. If you're going to go all in the entire season until push comes to shove and the trade deadline's a week away, and then you back off, that doesn't make any sense.
Am I wrong? Like, when they created $26 million in cap space and you guys kept telling me to wait, to wait, to wait, I assumed the waiting was for now. Like, I assumed the cap space was either for Mahomes' contract, Chris Jones' contract, or right now, when you can improve your roster to try to go win a Super Bowl. That's what I assumed that it was for. It doesn't sound like, well, we don't want to get a guy. What, you mean bad contracts like Sammy Watkins' contract? You mean bad contracts like Anthony Hitchens? You don't want to sign those kind of deals? You were all for signing those deals whenever it was your idea in the beginning.
I know I've said it a couple of times, but I think it's important, so I'll say it one more time. They've ran into some weird circumstances at the cornerback position. Patrick Peterson's team is better than they thought. Marcus Peters was already achieved. Jalen Ramsey was always going to get traded to an NFC team. Chris Harris isn't going to get traded within the division. So there were a lot of guys out there. Unfortunately, now the trade deadline's actually here, they just didn't make sense. They weren't going to work.
There's other players on the defense. I hear what you're saying. Maybe they can't go get a corner. They can go get a linebacker or a defensive
line. So if they add a Mohamed Sanu-type player on the defensive side, is that going to wet your whistle?
Yes, absolutely it would. That would be an improvement. That would be an improvement over what they have. Like, to me, when you say the Mohamed Sanu thing, you also got to factor it in. Mohamed Sanu is an improvement over what the Patriots have at wide receiver. Their wide receiver core could desperately use Mohamed Sanu. Their linebacker core could desperately use a Mohamed Sanu. Who's their best linebacker right now?
I don't know if they have one.
That's a problem, given the fact that you gave Anthony Hitchens one of the top 10 contracts at the position, that I don't know who their best linebacker
is.
I'm not even saying that's a bad answer. I'm saying is a pivotal part in stopping the run is their linebacker core. You don't know who their best linebacker is. Go trade for someone. Go trade for somebody that excites BK. You know BK knows every player in the NFL. He knows their PFF. He knows where they went to college. He knows their GPA, their ACT scores, all of that. Trade for a player that makes BK happy. Can they do that?
I'm in.
A guy that you've heard of gets you excited? Like, I don't – lateral moves at this point, when we're talking about winning the Super Bowl, do nothing for me.
I don't know how they can make a lateral move with how bad their defense is.
I can't get over this quote, good players on bad contracts are available. If the good players are available, get them.
They don't want to do it.
Go get them. Like, good players help you. I'm all with you, Sean. You know I've been fighting this fight with you for a while now. But if the good players are available, if that is so, and according to Mellinger's reporting, it is true,
then that's the one that you go after.
Can I ask a question that's probably going to get me in trouble, but I'll ask it anyway. What the hell? Is Brett Veach just incompetent? Like, is that guy just not that good at his job? Because we've talked about all these moves he's made and the draft, and here we are at the trade deadline. Let's play a game. Say something nice, C-Dot, about Brett Veach, real quick. Say something nice about Brett Veach.
I think that Brett Veach...
That's what I'm saying!
Well, no, I'm trying to shoot my words correctly.
That's what I'm saying!
This may be the answer to your question. I don't think Brett Veach has shown us that he can select defensive players. I don't think it's that hard to find a way to support Patrick Mahomes.
The best defensive player on this team is Chris Jones, and he's the last remaining John Dorsey player.
But this defense is a Brett Veach creation. This is his defense.
How's that going?
This is not Andy's defense. This is not Bob Sutton's defense. It's not Steve Spag. He had one responsibility.
Well, he did hire Spag. You say it's not his defense.
I know, but
he did hire Spag.
But I mean, you're the general manager. The offense is Andy's baby. We know that.
Yeah.
So when they don't run the football, I'm not blaming Brett Veach. There's only one person to blame. That person's Andy Reid. Your only responsibility this offseason was to improve their defense. That's the only responsibility that you had. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. Text line 69306. This question is going to make me the most angry. Why do you guys want them to make a move for the sake of making a move? I watched the Chiefs defense. I can't imagine watching the Chiefs defense and not thinking that they could improve defensively. Like, that part to me is just so mind-blowing of a concept to me that you can watch the Chiefs play defense against Baltimore, Indy, Houston, or Detroit and not think that there is a way that they can improve at the trade deadline on defense. If I was here advocating for them to trade a second-round pick for a running back and you guys were getting on me, hey, I'd be on your side. If I was saying, hey, you know what? Let's have a really good two tight end system with Kelsey and go get a random tight end, I'd be on you guys' side. How can anybody watch this team and be against them getting a quality defensive lineman or a linebacker that can help stop the run? Like that, I understand we all got different opinions. I don't understand that opinion.
I think that's where the conversation has turned, though. From the beginning of the season, it's they need to add another piece before the trade deadline, before the playoffs get here in the secondary. And quite frankly, Mo Claiborne, they haven't been that bad, the secondary. The run D is where they need to add a player at this point. Like, if they're going to make a move, it has to be a linebacker or a D lineman, unless the perfect cornerback situation comes to fruition, which at this point, it's looking like that's not going to happen.
BK, do you like Desmond Trufant? Would he make a lot of sense?
He's fine. He's kind of like what you have. Like, he's Mo Claiborne, but he's paid more handsomely. He's fine. He's been good in his past, but he's been really bad this year. So I'm saying all of this to say, like, he's okay. He's an okay player. He maybe makes you a little bit better, but if it's going to cost you a first-round pick, I don't think that's the move that they should make.
Okay.
If he's the only guy that's available and he's a third-round pick, okay, yeah, sure, that's fine.
I thought you made a good point earlier, C-Dot, when you were talking about the pass defense, how we've kind of gave them a pass. Like, yeah, they're not that bad because we're comparing them to the run D. Like, the run D is much worse than we expected. It's the worst in the division. It's the worst in the AFC. It's so bad it could cost them a Super Bowl the same way that the secondary did last year. But the secondary hasn't been as big of an issue as we thought it was going to be.
They're not good. I don't want anyone to think that I don't think the Chiefs are a good team. But all season, we have been evaluating the Chiefs about being a great team.
I mean, you did say when they're healthy, you don't think they're a Super Bowl team. So how can you say they're a great team?
Yes, I'm saying I don't think they're a great team. That's why I think they're a good team. So far, I think the Chiefs are an 11-win football team that I don't trust to win three straight playoff games. Now, they can win a playoff game, but I was told at the very beginning of the season that wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough for this team.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, though, who was to know that Tyreek Hill was going to be out for 4 weeks? And the only thing we could have predicted was Sammy Watkins was going to be out for about a third of the season. That's it. All these other injuries, nobody could have predicted.
And now I'm saying is you have the information about what you do well and what you don't do well, and now you have the ability to fix some of it. You can't fix all of it. You can't go get the linebacker. You can't go get the defensive lineman. You can't go get the corner. But you can go get something to improve this team. This team, I would say offensively and defensively, is not what we thought it was going to be. Now, I'm not saying the offense has been bad, but we talked about the offense all offseason like it was going to be one of the five best we've ever seen in the history of the NFL. Even if everybody comes back, I don't think it's that. Can their offense be good enough for you to go to the Super Bowl? Absolutely.
How can you say that, though? No left tackle. Damian Williams underperforming. Patrick Mahomes hobbled. Tyreek Hill out. Sammy Watkins out. How can you definitively say that this offense isn't as good or better than they were a year ago? We haven't seen it.
I don't think they can run the football. Like, even when they get guys back, I don't think they can run the football at a high level. I don't think they can.
I think we're going to find out the next couple of weeks if they've just done a bad job of trying to run the football or if they actually can't run the football, because with Matt Moore out there, You better try to at least run the football.
No, you're right. I don't think they can run the ball the way I thought they were going to run. I thought they were going to be a top 12 rushing offense this year, or at least have the capability to be. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. And again, I'm not saying I think the Chiefs offense is bad. I'm saying is in the beginning of the season, we thought they had a chance to be the number one scoring offense in the history of the NFL. I don't think they're going to be that. Are they going to be one of the best offenses this year in the NFL? Can they average 28, 29 points a game? Is their offense going to be why they lose? Probably not. But it's not going to be that elite. We also thought that their defense was going to take a step forward and make improvements, and it wasn't going to be one of the five worst. If they made the playoffs right now, they would have the worst defense in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no, like, what team in the playoffs do you think would have a worse defense than them? I don't think that team exists. That's the same scenario they were in last year. You're counting on your offense to carry you completely and do everything that you need. I don't know if that's going to be good enough to go to the Super Bowl. I said it yesterday. I think the Chiefs are trying to win differently than everybody else. They don't run the football effectively, and they're not good defensively. Every other team that you think is good that has a chance to win the Super Bowl can do those two things at a high level. I think it's just hard, especially if you're not going to get the bye, to ask a team that doesn't run the ball effectively, that doesn't play great defense, to win three games, two of them on the road. If you can't run the ball and play defense successfully, so something's got to change. You either got to get as much better running team and be more balanced offensively, which maybe changes when you get Eric Fisher, or you got to get your defense to a point where you can get off the field. Because 32 carries against Baltimore, 45 carries against the Colts, 41 carries against Houston, and 35 carries against the Lions, that's not good enough to win three straight playoffs.
So do you think they can't do it, or do you think that if they add a couple of players at positions of need that all of a sudden they are that team we thought they were?
Defensively?
Yeah.
I think their defense can be where we thought it could be at the beginning of the season.
Because the defense by the numbers is better. Like, that's all we asked for. Statistically,
I don't know if their defense is better against good teams.
But they are. Like, the numbers, well, okay, that's fair. Against good teams.
Against good teams. I'm not talking about games against Jacksonville. I'm not talking against games about Denver. I'm talking about games against teams like Baltimore, teams like Indy, teams like the Lions, teams like Houston, teams that you are going to have to beat in the playoffs to go to the Super Bowl. Can they win three straight of those games given the deficiencies that we've seen so far? They're not playing Denver in the playoffs. Yeah, they're a much better team than the Broncos. Whoop-de-doo. You're a much better team than Oakland. Whoop-de-doo. A team that's going to go 7-9 this season. Can you beat good Super Bowl contending teams? Now, they play two of those over the next 2 weeks, but you also don't have your quarterback.
So you're talking about Green Bay and Minnesota. That's what I was going to say. 0-2, 2-0, or 1-1 the next 2 weeks?
I think they go 1-1. I think they find a way to win one of those two games.
BK? 1-1, 0-2, 2-0 in the next couple of weeks.
0-2.
Oh, damn.
You got them losing both of them?
I got them going 1-1. If they go 2-0, put Andy Reid in the Hall of Fame as soon as that Minnesota game concludes.
I think these are two of the five worst matchups in the NFL for the Chiefs.
Yeah, hot quarterbacks. They can run the football, top 10 scoring defenses. They're not good matchups. And if the Chiefs are to lose, and I don't want to go glass half empty, but if they do, they'll be 0-4 at Arrowhead, right? Who saw that coming?
Yeah, I mean, two teams that, as BK alluded to and you said, do everything you can't stop. They run the ball well and they play defense. Like, other than Baltimore, they haven't shown they can beat a team that can do both of those things effectively. Like, they have not shown they can do that.
I guess they'll be 1-3. They did win the Baltimore game.
And in the playoffs, you were going to, in theory, play three of those teams. One will be at home. You will then go on the road and play two teams that can run the ball and play defense. Can you beat those kind of teams? You can only do it if the offense is otherworldly. And I just know if, I think it'll be good. It could maybe be great. I don't know if it's going to be otherworldly the way it was last year. Coming up in just a few, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. The Border War is back, and I'm mad about the Chiefs. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.